Okay, so welcome everybody. The topic of the shiur is, as we know, unfortunately relevant to where we are right now, the fall of the seemingly great, what we can learn from other sins. And I would just mention that I'm going to stick to my topic. And there are a lot of topics and discussions I'm not going to have that has definitely been discussed by other people in shiurim and articles. I would just mention two points before I begin. Number one, one of the questions that I heard, I actually saw, I listened to the shiur, someone gave a shiur yesterday, that how can it be that someone, you know, who maybe was good became bad, there can be such evil people in the world who do actually such diabolical acts that can ruin people's lives, and all they think about, these people, are themselves. So I have to mention that I wasn't bothered by that question because every day in our davening, we say that. At the end of the Birchas HaShachar, after we say, Hamav Rishena Meines Nuvav Avoy, we say, V'yotzom Panecha Hashem Elokeinu, and we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we say, V'harchikeinu Me'odam Ra U'Mechav Ra, to distance us from an evil person and an evil friend. So we say, and then after that bracha, we add on the tefillah of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, which is mentioned in Maseches Brachos. When we go ahead and we finish when he finished Bon Esrei, he would add on a different tefillah. And we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tatzileinu Hayom B'chol Yom, and we add Me'odam Ra, Me'chav Ra, Me'shachan Ra. So there's no question that there are evil people in the world. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with people who have the ability to commit evil and terrible evil, I don't know. But there's no question there are evil people in the world. And I would just add, my father, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, asked the question, so why is it in the bracha that we say, we say, v'harchikeinu mi'odam ra, to distance us from an evil person? And in the special tefillah of Yehuda Nasi, we say, not v'harchikeinu, but we say, v'chetachileinu, to save me. In the bracha, it's to distance us. And in the special tefillah of Yehuda Nasi, we add the words, v'chetachileinu, to save us. My father explained, if you look at the two different paragraphs, the bracha itself is speaking about the plural, Lashon Rabin, Shatargileinu, Dabkeinu, talking about us. And the Yiratzon of Yehuda Nasi, which we add on, is Shatatzileini. It's speaking about the individual. And when we speak about the plural, the group, we can ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, distance us from a group of evil people, distance us from a group of a group of friends that are evil. However, when it comes to individuals, it's very difficult to say, distance us from individuals, because as individuals, we interact with everybody. And therefore, we have to use the expression Tatzileini to save us. But we mentioned, what is an Adam Ra? What is a Chavar? What is a Shachan Ra? I think an evil friend and an evil neighbor are people who influence you. An Adam Ra is somebody who can actually do something very bad to damage you on a physical level, on an emotional level. So yes, there are evil people in the world. Why there are people who definitely fail in their challenge and can affect misery. And we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to save us from those people. And Mirshem, we should be zocha to a day when we will be saved from all evil people, all evil neighbors and all evil friends. But there are evil people in the world. The second question I want to discuss quickly before I begin the shiur, and that is about the books. So I have to mention that when the news first broke, at the very beginning of the story, at that time I had two questions. One question is what to do with the books in my house, and the second question, what to do with the books in the shul. And I felt when it came to the books in the shul, it was a very serious responsibility that I had. And at that time, I basically did what I always do in these situations. I ask professionals. When someone asked me about how to deal with COVID, the vaccine, I said, speak to your doctor. So the same thing, we spoke to an organization that deals with molestation issues, how to help children that have been through this terrible challenge. And we asked, what should we do with the book? At that time, they said, listen, right now, it hasn't been to court yet, has not been to Besdin yet, hasn't been to court. So he says, take the books off the shelves, put it to the side, and see what happens. And immediately I quietly took the books off the shelves and I put it away. After the suicide, after a specific person murdered himself, I took all the books, whether from the shul, can't say I did B'dikas Chametz on it. It might be another book I have to find, and the books from my house, and I threw them all in the garbage. Why? Very simply, because first I said very simply, these books, as Rav Berkowitz said, are maskeras avon. When a person goes ahead and sees these books, they remind us of a terrible sin, of a terrible chil Hashem. And for people, families, houses, shuls, organizations that are aspiring towards kedoshim to you, how can you have such books in your house? I didn't do a public burning. I didn't take a picture and post it on my status because I didn't feel there's a reason to go ahead and publicize the sin again. I felt it was terrible to have these books, and I threw the books out quietly. And I would suggest that any house that is aspiring towards kedoshim to you should not keep these books in the house. Throw the books out. Those are the two questions I wanted to focus on at the very beginning. And now I want to focus on the shir. So the shir is the fall of the seemingly great, what we can learn from other sins. And a person might say and ask, what a ridiculous topic. We're speaking about a terrible, terrible person who did terrible things and he destroyed people's lives. And he acted in a very deviant, he's a psychotic, he's narcissistic, he only cared about himself. And why should I go ahead and why should I care? Why can it go ahead? It wouldn't affect me in the slightest. I should just not think about it. However, I think anyone who is that approach is mistaken. There's a Gemara in Maseches Nazir, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Gemara there asked the question that, you know, Maseches Nazir, which deals with the vow that a Nazir would take, a person would take, whether it's a man or a woman, not to drink wine, not to cut their hair, not to become Tamei, its place is in Maseches Seder Nashim, the book that deals with laws of ladies. And the question is, what is the relevance, the connection to Maseches Nazir, which deals with a person abstaining from wine, to the other laws, the other Mishnayot that deal with laws of women, whether it's the laws of Kedushin, how you betroth a lady in marriage, the laws of Ksuva, Rayin Ksuva, laws of Gittin, Yevamos, all halachas that deal specifically with laws that connect to the lady. Why is the Maseches Nazir in Seder Nashim? And the Gemara asked the question, look at source number one, the very beginning of Maseches Nazir, Michti, let's see, Tana b'Seder Nashim Koyi, our Tana is in Seder Nashim. My time, and what's the reason that he's learning about Hilchos Nazir? The Gemara says, Tana Akrahi, Akrakoi. Like every time the Gemara is based on Sukkim. And what does the Pesach say? V'hoya im lo simsa chayim be'enav, kimasav erves davar. If a man should find that his wife was not faithful to him, was involved with another man, it was over his isravashis ish, so he has to divorce her. And the question is, so he says, and the question you have to ask is, how did such an avera happen? Mi karmo l'avera, who caused her to do a sin? And Gemara says, when someone sins like this, yayin. So he says, so the wine caused the person to sin. We'll explain that in a second. So therefore, kol haroa sota bekilkula. Anyone who sees a sota, a woman who is unfaithful to her husband, and basically slept with another man, so you just can't walk away and say, wow, that's terrible. But they have to react in some way. And therefore, they say, yazir atmin ayayin, they have to stay away from wine. And by the way, this pasuk is referring to a man that sees it. A man shouldn't say, well, another woman sinned. He himself has to react in some way. He has to feel that maybe I myself can do a similar aveira or something similar. I can be affected this way. I can be affected by this aveira that happened by a certain man and woman. And how does he do it? To separate himself from wine. For that reason, the parsha of Nazir and the parsha of Sota is juxtaposed in the Torah, are one next to another. And also, the parsha of Nazir, the halachas Nazir are found in Seder Nashim because it has to do with Maseches Sota for that reason. So again, it's talking about a man who saw a woman that was punished for something, and he himself has to react, even though it might be totally far-fetched. Yes, it's true. Ein apotropos l'arayos, and why would a person think that he could fall into the same trap? But everyone has to go ahead has to react in some way and to make sure that they won't not sin in some way, but maybe whatever caused these people to sin might cause a person themselves to maybe do something else wrong. Everyone has to react when they see somebody else fall. And someone will say, it's totally different. What happened here is so far-fetched. It would never happen to any of us, which might be true. Still, we have to pause for a second and think, what can we learn from this? And just to show, even if what happened is so far from our imagination, it can never happen to us, we still have to pause. If you look at sources number 2, 3, and 4, and I actually leave one source out, there are four times in the Torah tells us about certain averis that were done, sins that were done, and the person is chayiv misa, and the person has to be executed b'fnei kol am ve'eda in order for people to learn and take a lesson. The first case is in source number 2, Parsha Shoftim, that if you have a zakin mamre is a person who is a baki. He is knowledgeable in all areas of Torah, and because he is knowledgeable in all areas of Torah, he goes ahead and he decides that the Sanhedrin paskin the wrong way, and he challenges the Sanhedrin. He goes to Sanhedrin and says, I think you made a psak, the wrong psak, and they hear him out, and they discuss it, and they take a vote, and they might say he was right, but let's say they say, you know what, we heard what you say, we hear your taina, but we still feel we're right. And if he walks out of heaven and says, they're still wrong, and I'm not going to follow them, so then he's a Zakim Mamre. And what happens? So in that situation specifically, Vayish Pasik Yudbet, Parsha Shoftim, Vayish Asher Yasev Zadon Levilti Shmuel HaKohen. So this Ish, who b'mezin wantonly stands against the Kohen, Ha'omei L'shar Hashem Et Hashem L'kecha, O'el HaShofet, and he O to the Shofet. And what happened was, Umesi Jehu, that person does not listen. He will die, he'll be killed. Uviyarta Ram Yisrael, and this evil Shemaita from Israel, the Chola Am Yishmu V'Yira'u, and all the nation will hear, will hear, and they will see, the Lo Yizun On, and no more act in unconformity. Okay? That's regard to the Zakei Mamre. Similarly, in Parsha Shoftim, we have, if you have an Eid Zomim, Edom Zomim, and very quickly are Edom who testify falsely for somebody, against somebody, and because of that, they try to have a person killed. They say a certain person was Mechal Shabbos, a certain person killed somebody, a certain person did other averus that bring along with it a chi of Misa. And then it turns out that these Edom, that they became Edom Zomim. People say, prove they were false Edos in a certain way. And the halacha is, in certain situations, they have to get the punishment they wanted to inflict upon somebody else. So what do? Pasuk Yud Tes, you do them like they wanted, and you destroy the evil from your midst. V'amisharim yishmu v'yira'u, v'lo yosifu od lasos of rezevi kervecha. They should not do any more like this. Okay, and then we have also about the Magade, if it's not here, the Magade for somebody who goes ahead. And the Magade for someone who will go ahead and he will publicly speak against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the question is so we say also we have to go ahead and we have to publicly execute him in front of everybody. People should see and not follow in their ways. And then if you look at source number 4, about a Ben Soru Moreh. Who is a Ben Soru Moreh? A wanton sinner, Ben Soru Moreh is a wayward son who didn't listen to his parents, and within a specific time, he did something wrong, and he has to be killed. And it says in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, or Gemur Kol Anshiro Bavanim Vameis, and the Anshiro will stone him, he'll die, Yavyataram Yikavecha, the Chol Yisoyish Mavira, when all the Jews will go ahead, they'll listen and they'll hear. And Shin Shul Fol Hirsch in source number 5, I'm not going to read it necessarily inside, but in Shin Shul Fol Hirsch, in his Perush, when he speaks about the Pesachim Mamre, he points out that it's fascinating. Why? Because in regard to the the Mesis is somebody, not the Megadev. Mesis is somebody who tries to convince someone else to worship Avodah Zarah, not the Megadev. It was a mistake. So the Mesis, someone who tries to convince someone else to worship Avodah Zarah, so in that, it says that he is executed publicly, and people should not go ahead. Why? So people should not learn from his ways and imitate him. So we have four times he has to be executed in the way everyone sees it. And why? So people should learn from his execution. In regard to the Mesis, the one who tries to convince others to worship Avodah Zarah, or in regard to the Eid Zomim, Torah tells us that people should see and they should not imitate him. In regard to the Zakim Mamre and the Bensor Ramor, the wayward son, the Torah tells us no. In that situation, you kill him publicly. But Torah doesn't say they shouldn't imitate him. That people should hear and they should be afraid. People should go ahead and not wantonly sin. So the Shunzu Paul Earth first asks why. Why in regard to the Mesis and in regard to Eden Zolman, the Torah tells us that we kill them publicly, execute them publicly so people should not imitate him. And in regard to the Ben Sora More and in regard to the wayward son, in regard to the Zakim Mamre, we just say people should hear and they shouldn't sin anymore. Why in regard simply to the Mesis and in regard to the Zomim, we say people should imitate him. Shimshon Baruch Hirsch says, most people cannot be a Zakim Mamre. To be a Zakim Mamre, you have to be someone who is a Baki, B'chola Torah Kula, Torah Shebeksav, Torah Shebal Peh. What, I can't go argue to Sanhedrin. You have to be someone that can really argue. And most people can't be a Ben Sora Mor either. It's very difficult to be a Ben Sora Mor. As a matter of fact, the Mor says, according to one opinion, never was a Ben Sora Mor. The Torah has to tell us that we execute them publicly in order that we shouldn't imitate them, because we're not going to imitate them. But there are lessons we can learn. In regard to the Azakim Mamre, it's important to learn to have respect for the Chachmei Chazal. In regard to the Ben Sora Mor, it's important to learn the idea of having respect for parents. We're not afraid of imitating them. In regard to the Zomei, in regard to the Mesis, someone who tries to convince someone to worship Avodah Zarah, in regard to the Eidzom, someone who's a false witness, that we have to execute publicly so people shall learn from their ways. So what do we see? Sometimes we make a statement, we say something in order that people should not imitate somebody else. And sometimes even where we will not imitate somebody, even where it's so far-fetched, we even come close to imitating somebody, there are certain lessons we can learn. So in this horrible Chilul Hashem that happened when lives were ruined by somebody, there's no question we will not come close to that. But there are definitely certain lessons we can learn. I just want to add one point, that even if this person had heard this shir that I'm about to give from somebody who would be so dynamic, so passionate, someone who would be an Adam Gadol who had his hands on Kol Torah Kula, it wouldn't have made a difference. Because you're talking about a person who's so deviant and so off that this wouldn't have affected him. So I'm not saying that he should have heard this shir. It wouldn't have helped. But for us who are Baruch Hashem, influenced by the Torah, and we are good people, we have to try to learn, see, and try to understand what we can learn so we can make sure that we are not affected in any negative manner by the world around us. So I just want to say that I think there's an important idea that I'd like to mention. And before we go there, we have to start with the Mesil Shisharim. And Mesil Shisharim points out, and I have, if you go and look, I'm just in source number 6, that Mesil Shisharim is a sefer that's written to help people aspire towards chassidus, aspire towards Yirah Shamayim, aspire towards Beikus, clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every person wants to be mizdabek, wants to cling for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who doesn't want to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Everybody wants to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone. So, but he says in source number 6, he says you should know that it's not within our nature, our very nature, imprinted of our nature, to darchei chassidut, Darche a year of Ava. Now, there's certain things that are in nature. We're tired, we go to sleep. We wake up, we're hungry, we're satiated. He says, aspiring towards Hasidus, being a good person, for some reason, yes, it's there. We have the ability, but it's not necessarily, you know, imprinted. We have to work hard at it. We have to put efforts. A person can't say, I'm a good person, it's okay. No. We have to work at it. That's source number six. He says, we need bridges and tricks, how to acquire them, to study them. And then source number seven says, so what do we do? So in source number seven, he says, Zilcharan says, this is an Akdama. And since everyone knows how we have to be perfect in our avoda, and we have to purify ourselves, and we won't be able, and the bottom line is that if we don't aspire towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so our lives are avoda towards being good like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then all our work is nemesis, is disgusted. So and we have to work on connecting our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he says, the question is, how can we do that? So he says we have to work hard, and he says, what can we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we're lazy and we don't put the effort in? Which means that the most important thing that's required is effort. We have to work at it. It's a battle. We have to work our whole lives on being good. We have to work at it. So, and we are working on it, and we should never stop for a second. Because once you stop, there's chas v'shalom, a chance you might fall. And I actually heard this idea from my father, Gemar Masechta Shabbos of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. I know it's a few parshas behind us, but going back to the story in Parshas Vayeshev, when the brothers of Yosef threw Yosef into the pit, and the Torah tells us the pit they threw him into, Habor Reik Ein Bamayim, the pit was empty and there was no water. And Chazal tell us, the Masechta Shabbos Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, Mayim Ein Bo, Avo Krav Menachish, he says, the Gemara says, it said Habor Reik. If the pit is empty, don't we know there's no water? So it says, well, Chazal tell us that it's not just there wasn't water, but he says it was telling us there was something else there. What was there? The chashim v'akravim. There were snakes and scorpions. And what's a deep message? Besides the idea that they threw him into the pit where there are snakes and scorpions. Deep message is that, and this is true, that my father used to say in his words, nature abhors a vacuum. Every empty space has to be filled up. Matt, I once heard, if you have an empty pit and you don't put snakes or water into it, so it's going to be filled up with dirt over time. It will become fill again because nature abhors a vacuum. And therefore, if there's no water in the pit, there'll be something else, snakes and scorpions. Mayim is Torah. Snakes represent evil. So if we don't fill ourselves with Torah, we don't work at ourselves, something else will come in that's not so good, that's not so positive. Something else will bring us down. And that's the point of this Gemara. We have to keep working on ourselves. As the Silcha Sharm says, so in this challenge to be good and not be affected by things around us, and we see people who fall, how can we not be affected? It's a constant battle. As a matter of fact, in source number 9, the Silcha Sharm goes on, he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei from Shlomo HaMelech. In terms of Yeshira Shamayim, says, in Tevakshenu Kachesef, you should look for it like kesef, like silver, and you should search for it like special treasures. And what's the idea that Shlomo HaMelech compares it to silver and treasures? Silver is money. In those days especially, silver was money. Special treasures, that's like a lottery ticket. That's like a special bonus. So when a person has to have money, he works all the time for money. We work very hard, day in, day out. Baruch Hashem, we have Shabbos here in Eretz Yisrael, so we work from Sunday through Thursday. Some people work on Friday, and chutzpah, it's the Monday through Friday week. Some people work 6 days a week. We have to work constantly. In other words, so therefore, Yerushalayim is a constant avoda. To be good, Yerushalayim means being good, is a constant avoda. We can never stop. We have to keep working. So whatever we're going to come up to, we have to keep working, keep focusing on it. And there's sometimes like a treasure. What is like a treasure? So let's say, for example, I'm working at a job 9 to 5. And someone tells me, you know, if you do this for 2 weeks, you know, you'll get a bonus of, I don't know, 10,000 shekels. What do I have to do? You have to work an extra 4 hours a night for 2 weeks. Wow, 4 hours a night for 2 weeks, an extra 10,000 shekel or 20 or 30,000 shekel. Of course I'll do it. So it's when you look for a treasure, sometimes there are times when you look for a treasure, you put extra time in. Same thing we search for Yiras Shamayim. It's got to be a constant avoda. But there's certain times when we realize that we have to work a little bit harder. There's an opportunity here. We have to work a little harder. I would say actually that's maybe the idea of what happens during Yom Nerayim at certain times in the year when we have a special event that we can be inspired by something to push us. We spend more time because Yiras Shamayim, being good, the Vekas, being a special person, takes constant work, Kakesef. And also, not only that, it's Kimat Mona Techabsena. We have to search it out. We have to search it out like treasure. Sometimes we have to work extra hard on it. So what is the trick? What do we need? You know, everyone has to know what they need. But I think one of the most important things, and a person has to be very truthful to himself, is to ask himself all the time, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? And you should know that we have to be very special. Sometimes people can fool themselves. It's always good to ask shilas to know sometimes. But you know, halacha is very clear. I have to tell you, if this person who was evil had followed halacha, so many of his diabolical acts would not have happened because halacha says yichud is aser. He wasn't interested in the halacha. Of course, everything else is aser too, but we have to know that halacha is so important. Halacha keeps us on the straight and narrow, and there has to be a certain hakpada on halacha. I remember this story. I remember that when my mother, Olav Shalom, was nifter, so I was the one that was with my father, and I had to give him over the news. My father, we weren't in the hospital. I was at home with my father, and I told my father, no, the meal. I had to tell him then. And I remember his first response was right away. First thing he said, I can't bench. And then was the whole discussion about what happened, how it affects him. Halacha is so important. Halacha. Now, there are people who supposedly might look like they're keeping halacha, but they're really not. And they're doing terrible things. But a person who wants to do the right thing, besides everything else, he has to be machpin on halacha. If you look at source number 10, and I want to talk about how you see a Farish Rambam, how a person can ensure he doesn't sin. The Rambam says in Perek Dal, Halacha Chafei, Kedushas Tfilin Kedushasim Dolahi. The Kedush of Tfilin is so Kadosh. Shekol Zman Shat Tfilin Barosho Shal Adam Val Zroo. Every time the Tfilin is on the head of a person and on his arm, he is humble, and he fears heaven, and he doesn't get drawn by laughter and wasted words. But what happens? He goes ahead and he's totally focused on divrei emes v'tzedek, and therefore that it should be on him a whole day. He'll ask me the question and say, hold on a second, that's very nice. But we know people that wear tefillin and they do terrible things. So I think in order to answer that question, I want to tell you a story, and then we'll talk about what tefillin teaches us. It seems that many great rabbonim, of the time of the achronim and even the rishonim, ended up in jail for a certain amount of time. Rami Rutenberg ended up in jail. We know that the Balei Tanya, the Alter Rebbe, ended up in jail. And others. The Vilna Gaon also ended up in jail. And as a matter of fact, it's written down that he was in jail, Rabbi Elio. And one time, the warden wanted to come in to speak to him. And you have to understand that the people in charge of the Russian jail, Lithuanian jails, were not like, maybe they were not like today. They were very tough and they would beat you up. And he walked in, he was ready to give the Vilna Gaon a very hard time. But the Vilna Gaon was wearing his talis and tefillin. He didn't say a word. So he walked out. So there was someone else there, another Jew, who was not on the same level as the Vilna Gaon, who turns to him and says, Rabbi, how come he didn't say anything to you? He looked like he was ready to beat you up. So I'll tell you, he says, the Farish Gemara Maseches Brachas, source number 17, the Avav Med Aleph, Minayin Shah Tfilin Otem Li Yisrael Dhsiv. How do you know Tfilin gives strength to Yisrael? People will see that the people, the nation, the world will see that the name of God is called upon you, and they will pray to you. Tanya or Velazar, God will Omer. What is this shame of Hashem that's on you? Tefillin Shabarosh. The pasuk says, according to Gemara, they'll see your tefillin, and they'll be afraid of you. So I tell her, wow, he's a Jew. It's an amazing idea. Next time the warden's going to come in, I'm in front of my tefillin. Next day, the warden comes in, speaks to the fellow. Guy has his tefillin on. Warden comes in, starts talking to him, doesn't like his answer. He beats the fellow up. Warden walks out. Fellow turns to the Vilna Gaon and says, Rabbi, I don't understand. How come for you, the tefillin protect you, not for me? He says, it doesn't say tefillin al harosh. It says tefillin sheberosh, the tefillin in the head. Putting on tefillin is not enough. You have to take the idea of tefillin to heart. It has to inspire you. It has to impress you. And if it does that, then they'll be afraid of you. So yes, the tefillin helps us grow. The help us get in the straight and narrow. But if it's only tefillin ala rosh, it's not going to be. It has to be tefillin sheberosh. It has to be inside your head. It has to go ahead. And it has to become part of you. It has to affect you, the secret of the tefillin. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch says, Simon Chafei Sif Aleph, source number 11, Acher Shalavash Talitz Mitsuyos, after you put on your talis, Yaniach Tefillin. You put on your tefillin. Talis first, then your tefillin. Why? Shemailin Bekodesh, you go up in Kedusha. So therefore, since the tefillin is holier, put the talis on first, then the tefillin. The Gogol Meravava, no view to ask the question, doesn't understand. Says it doesn't make sense. Why? It's counterintuitive. Why? Because it says that the tefillin has more kedusha than the tzitzis, so the tzitzis comes first because of Malam Bekodesh. So he says, really, since it's more kadosh, that should come first. Give kavod to the what's more kodesh. It's a Mishnah in Maseches Zvachim that kol hamakudosh mechavero, anything only a friend goes first. The tefillin should go first. So he gives a different reason why the Dogel and Rav White tzitzis go first. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, what do you mean it goes first because it's more, the tefillin goes second because it's more kadosh. The tefillin should go first, but it's more kodesh. So the Bir Halacha says beautifully, because it doesn't mean that the tefillin goes second because it's more kodesh. You're right. You would go for with more kodesh first. But when a person puts on tefillin and tzitzis in the morning, he himself goes up. He himself raises himself in Kedusha. And therefore, since he himself raised himself in Kedusha, so for that reason, such a person is going up midarga ladarga. And we know when you raise yourself up in Kedusha, you got to take it step by step, small steps. And therefore, since the tefillin is a smaller step, the tzitzis is a smaller step than the tefillin. You put the tzitzis on first, take that small step, then you take a bigger step. It's the idea that tefillin, we go up in Kedusha. We become different. So when it says you put the tefillin on second because Milan the Kodesh, doesn't mean because the tefillin is more Kodesh, but because the tefillin takes us to a higher place than the tzitzis. So therefore, you put the tzitzis, the talis on first, takes you to one spot, then you take the tefillin to a higher spot. So we see that the tefillin goes ahead and takes you to a very high spot. The tzitzis reminds you of the obligation to do mitzvahs. What does the tefillin remind you of? If you look at source number 14, and Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara speaks about the fact how even though it's good sometimes to smile, to be happy, to make a joke, a person has to be careful and not get carried away with uncontrolled laughter, because that can lead to leitzanus. And work honestly, Kalita Averus. As a matter of fact, Gemara says in the Sechas Brachas, that Lama Rabbeis, Abaya have a Yosef Kami de Rabba. Abaya was sitting before his Rabbi Rabba. And Chaza, he saw what did he see? The Havi Kabadach Tuva. That Rabba was laughing a lot. So Amar, he says, why are you laughing? If you Barada, when you're too joyous, you have to shake and tremble. We're going to lead you to. So Amr Lay, Ana Tfilim Anach, and I'm wearing tefillin. And we'll see, the tefillin is going to help me. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Havi Yosef, Kame to Rabbi Zeira. He was sitting before Rabbi Zeira. Chaje, he saw the Gavach Tuvar, he saw that he was laughing. So Amrle, he says, V'chol etzav yeh moser, the more sadness, the better it is. Siv, why are you so happy? Amrle, I don't have to worry about my happiness, because ana tefil menachna, I am wearing tefillin. What's the koach tefillin? The koach tefillin is, v'heim edus, shem hemshelish koni meshor so'alai. It's an edus that memshelis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the rule of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upon me. That's the idea. When I wear tefillin, I take the heart. When you see tefillin, I take the heart. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules over me. That whatever I do, I'm thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why a person, the Rambam says, who wears tefillin, the beautiful words that the Rambam says, it's so kadosh because when the tefillin's on the head of a person, Ba'al Zroo, and on his arm, who anav yarishamayim, and he is not drawn by tzchok sich v'teila. He doesn't think machshavos ra'os. It's hard. And by the way, he has to work his whole life at it. But the question is, if it's tefillin, not alarosh, tefillin birosho, it's in his head. The idea of tefillin shabarosh is, and it's the zroa. He says, the Rosh, the Rosh. I would go ahead and say the idea of the Rosh, it's imprinted in his head, and Al Zroa, it affects his actions. But it's imprinted in his head that Memshel is Koni Alai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ruling over me. Whatever I do, I got to think what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And yes, you have to be truthful to yourself. You know, the Rambam at the very end of Hilchas Tainis cuts a pasuk, and he speaks about Emes Vashal Mahavu. And my grandfather, Moshe Soloveitchik, whose yahrzeit was just past Wednesday, he asked the question, why is the Rambam close a pasuk of Emes Vashalom? He says, the Rambam, just one second, actually. So the Rambam the Rambam talks about Emes and Shalom. And the idea is that you have to go ahead and you, when you have Shalom, it has to be true Shalom, Emes. Halach, when a person has Memshalos Koni Alai, he has to be MS. He has to be focused all the time. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? So I'm not saying, by the way, if a person keeps Halacha, he's not doing anything wrong. It happens. It's an avodah. Our whole lives, they have to work on it, Jewish German says. But the most important thing is to keep in mind, I have to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And there's a Shulchan Aruch. And then sometimes we have to ask Shilas. But a person has to know, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do now? That's the most important question. Whatever you're doing, you're speaking. The Kaddish Baruch Hu want me to say this. Kaddish want me to do this. That's the most important lesson. Yes, there are people that are evil in the world, and they might say they care about Kaddish Baruch Hu, and they don't. And even though he's Allah, might do things that are wrong. They might hurt somebody. But a person who wants to be good, he has to always ask himself, what does Kaddish Baruch Hu want? And I think that when we see something like this happen, we have to strengthen ourselves to understand the importance of halacha and the importance of Memshelos Koni Alai. I'll just finish off by saying, and as I said before, if someone wants to send me email me, you know, it's a question, it's fine. But because since we have a topic, even though I usually open up for questions, I don't want to necessarily do that today, but I would just mention that if we do this, and then we daven, and I would just say that we daven that Mir Hashem, the Tefillah of Rebbe, Tafeinu Mayom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu save us from Azei Panim, Mi Adam Ra, Chavar Ra, Mi Shachin Ra, and we should live amongst the Tzibur, people that are good, and of course, we have to take precautions to protect everybody, and we should be able to be involved only the good people. And by the way, there are many, many good people in the world. But for ourselves, we have to realize that one of the ways to work hard is to always realize, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? We should be zocha, as I say, to be good people, to be around good people, and only to be zocha to good things and not be hurt by anybody. Everyone should have a wonderful winter. I thank you all for for joining in. Thank you very, very much. Oh, so I just want to mention that before. So,